Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oi, oi, I'm Jimmy Bullard, and this is me old Mac and Fenners. We're back together, son. How are ya?
Hi, Bully. Great to be back working with you. Well, what are we doing here, though?
We're starting a football club in podcast form. The only thing we know, it's called FC Bullard. After that, it's all up for grabs.
So, we haven't got any players, we haven't got a kit, we haven't got a club badge, we haven't got a stadium.
Correct. FC Bullard. Welcome to the club.
This is a crowd podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beeves Golf Club. My co-host and chipper-loving friend John Robbins is still out on tour. He'll be back in January, so for now, I'm joined by producer Ryan. What's happening, mate?
Beef, I'm good, thank you, mate. How long did it take you to get over your Ryder Cup blues last week?
Blues or pure tiredness? Or both? I mean, mate.
Yeah.
We had such a stupid flight home. We had a car come at, I think it was 3 a.m.
Wow.
After that week. Yeah. Oh, mate, honestly, yeah. It took me a good 3-4 days to sort of just get my bearings again. I was so tired. But it was such an epic week.
I mean, at one point you were debating trying to sneak into the actual party when we were there recording when all the champagne was spraying. You might have been better doing that and then just going straight to the airport.
Do you know what? We got on the flight and I sat there and I said to Jones, I was like, best decision I've ever made, actually. Because usually I'm that person who will end up in the party. I would have missed the flight. It would have been a disaster. I would have felt so rough. And actually, I got back, and although I was tired, I didn't have some like stinking hangover. It's the best decision I've ever made.
Mate, I bet there were some sore heads as well from what we saw at that celebration. I mean, it was amazing to be there firsthand, wasn't it? Although, a load of the players obviously flew pretty much straight to Scotland, didn't they? And then have been playing in the Alfred Dunhill Links. That's commitment, right?
Mate, I don't know how they're doing that. I honestly don't. After that week and watching, playing in that, I can only imagine like the emotions and how like the adrenaline and the drop-off you would have on Monday. Yeah. I'd want to sort of just sleep in a dark room for a week.
Yeah. It was a good field though, wasn't it? I saw Matt Fitzpatrick has obviously gone. Tommy Fleetwood went as well, didn't he, I think? Bob McIntyre got his Jet 2 flight and ended up there.
Yeah. Ludvig Åberg was playing in America.
What?
As well. Yeah. And he lost in a playoff.
Yeah.
And like to even perform after that, like I thought you'd feel like so flat after just because of that hype, that emotion. I've never seen a tournament like it. How they're performing is beyond me, honestly.
Well, I mean, also as well, it wasn't exactly easy to perform because did you see the weather? Obviously, going from the highs of like getting sunburnt in Rome to, I saw a picture of St. Andrew. It obviously got rained off, didn't it, on the Sunday. The biggest puddle in the middle of the 18th on that famous picture with the bridge and stuff. Did you see it?
I've seen them all, man. I've seen them all. And like, usually links golf courses can really soak up the rain as well and handle like bad weather. I read somewhere they had 79 millimeters of rain in like 2 days.
What?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
How they're even playing today is a miracle. I mean, the work the greenkeepers and everyone has done to even get their course in some sort of shape to even play it is beyond remarkable.
What happens when you're at a tournament, Beef, and it rains all day and there's no play? Like, are you in the clubhouse playing board games? Like, you're just refreshing BBC weather? Like, what do you do on those days?
this is where you want a late tea time.
Yeah.
And decisions to be made in the morning. So, like, sometimes you'll get it and you'll get to the golf course. It'll be delayed, say, 3 hours. So you have to sit and wait in either the players' lounge or the locker room or wherever. sit and wait around till there's a decision made. Now, if you're the afternoon group, which I had in Dubai in January,
yeah,
I got a message saying we're not going to be playing till 11 a.m. So then I know that sort of 5 hours or 4 hours later than the first tea time. So now I'm not going to be off till 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you know, and you can just hang around the hotel, which is easier, I find, than just waiting around at the golf course all day. So yeah, it's just literally, sometimes players might get a pack of cards out. Some players might go and find and have a little lay down, have a nap. But I mean, it's fucking boring. That's why being at the hotel is so much better.
I've just got an image of like Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood playing like rummy or something while they're waiting for their tea time. That's ridiculous. What's your go-to card game if that's the case?
Oh, mate. Do you know what? I was playing a lot of cards in Singapore and I got into cribbage. So I just learned a load of like different card games. One called the Scooper, which was Italian. Yeah. So there was a few, but yeah, I like a game of cribbage. It's quite good.
Maybe we need to introduce a games room at Beef's Golf Club for if anything gets rained off.
Massively need a games room. 100%. You need an old golden tee thing.
A what?
Do you remember the golden tee games?
No.
They're like golf games. And you aim it and it had the ball that spins. So you got to take like a big like push and roll like the ball on the keypad to hit it as far as possible.
I've never heard of that before.
Oh my God. Have you not? You need... Google it, man. You need to Google that immediately. I mean, golden tees, like that could be the first Beef's Golf Club banned for not knowing golden tee.
I'm sure I'm not the only person who hasn't heard of golden tee, surely. We have to get the members to write in who's heard of golden tee and where did you play it, because I've never heard of that.
I think there's a poll coming.
Yeah, okay. We'll do a golden tee poll. One final thing on the rain. Does it ruin your week if that happens? It plays into Monday. Do you know what I mean? Like, what happens with your flights and that sort of stuff if you miss them?
Yeah, it makes it difficult because you might have a flight out, say, Sunday night or Monday morning. If it goes into Monday, then you've got to get another flight. So obviously you could be stung for it being charged.
Yeah. Do you pay that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's like nothing you can do. So you're trying to find other flights. Like generally, going to Madrid from Edinburgh should be fairly straightforward. But in other cases, there's been times where the flights could be a connecting flight as well.
Yeah.
And then that can get really sort of tricky and you can miss connections and it can be a proper nightmare.
Speaking of the golf this weekend though, Beef, rain or not, Matt Fitzpatrick has obviously gone on to win. Shooting 19 under across three rounds. That's great for him, right?
That's insane, honestly. How they're, like I said before, how they're playing and competing after that week is amazing. And I know Fitzhugh as well was playing with his mum in the Dunhill as well.
Really?
Yeah. They were playing together. So yeah, maybe she's been giving him some... maybe she's been giving us some lines on the greens or something. I don't know.
Well, we bumped into his dad and his brother, didn't we, after we were on the 18th green after the Ryder Cup win. And they seemed very sort of just proud of him, didn't they, and stuff?
Yeah, really nice. Really nice family, like really grounded and stuff. And you can see that with Matt and Alex as well, just really grounded. And that's why he's probably playing as well, you know. He's played Ryder Cup, most amazing tournament I've ever seen. And to go and compete this week, you've got to be grounded. Yeah. Fair play, man.
Well, back to the Ryder Cup, Beef. We had a message confirming that the Beef's Golf Club ball that you hid was found. A guy called Matt has got in touch on Instagram. Just for anyone who didn't see the video on social media, can you explain to people where you hid this ball and how impressive it is that it's been found?
Yeah, and it was found pretty quick as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really quick. There was a few trees to the right of the ninth green. I'd probably say it was about 60, 70 yards short of the green to the right, quite far to the right.
Yeah.
And I found like a little sort of hole in the tree and I just balanced the ball on the wrong side of where the crowds were all walking. So it was like the side that was facing sort of the range.
Yeah.
There. But yeah, someone's found it pretty fast.
Found it pretty fast. And I wonder, I haven't had a comment yet from this guy, but I wonder why he was by that tree and what he thought when he spotted the ball. Maybe he went for a piss and then spotted a ball while he was doing it against the tree.
It'd be brave doing a piss with 50,000 people walking down there. But yeah, he must have just walked past and yeah, had a little look and caught his eye. I mean, it's a great find. They weren't the easiest ones, fine.
Great find. He did message saying, "What do I win?" And we replied saying, "You've won a Beach Golf Club golf ball, mate. Like that's the that's the biggest prize ever." But I think he might not have listened to the podcast and thought he'd won a prize, but he hasn't.
Just the mention and the golf ball was a prize, and hopefully you'll lose that prize somewhere and someone else will find that prize and then write in again.
Yeah, there we go. And then someone else will ask for a prize, but we don't have one anyway. We didn't manage to find a club sandwich while we were out there, did we? Something to suggest for the Ryder Cup for the next one, do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%. I think once we find out who the next captain is going to be, I think we get on the case. The next American captain, then we'll figure it out. But I'm sure they love a club sandwich in the States.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you? But maybe we could get ourselves another food truck for the Ryder Cup and sort one out ourselves, a club sandwich stall.
Just literally doing the best club sandwiches.
Yeah.
That would be epic.
We'll look into that. And then finally, Beef, we've had several messages alerting us to the fact that Mark Wahlberg was at the Ryder Cup, which is bad PR for Beef's Golf Club here. This doesn't look good for us that we were there as well and we didn't manage to get you a photo with him. What are we going to do about this?
I think he was keeping an even more low profile because maybe he'd heard we were there trying to find him. So fair play for keeping that low key. I didn't see him, never heard him. No one really... Someone gave us a tip that he was coming, but we never even saw him on the golf course. Fair play for keeping that under the radar. That's pretty impressive.
We've now potentially been in the radius of 100 yards of Mark Wahlberg and still haven't managed to ask him to come on the podcast. So, yeah, we're in trouble here, Beef, I think.
Do you know what, though? It probably saved the really awkward moment.
What, when he said no to a selfie?
Yeah, when he sort of went up and said hi, and obviously we were all there, and if he had pied me in real life, you'd never live it down. So maybe it's a good thing.
It might be that I wonder if it turns out this story's never been true. And then Mark Wahlberg was like, "Hi, mate, do I know you?" We've been living a lie. Anyway, maybe next time.
Yeah, mate, as we said, next time, but I'm not messaging him ever again. Right then, everyone. Like I said earlier, John is away on tour, but he'll be back in January. In the meantime, we need to start recruiting some new members to Beef's Golf Club. So in the next couple of months, we'll bring you as many episodes as we can with some special guests. If you've only just discovered us, remember to go and check out our episodes from the start, where we were building the club up from scratch. There's some quality guests you'll enjoy along the way. And we've got another one waiting at the door now. He's a top guy and a decent golfer as well. It's Chris Hughes. Let's get him in. Yes, Chris, welcome to Beef's Golf Club, mate. How are you, man?
I'm all good, buddy. Yeah, good to see you, mate. Been a while.
Yeah, it has, wasn't it? Since, about a year ago?
I reckon it was about a year ago, but the sun was shining, Beef. It was good memories, mate. Spending a morning on the golf course, getting some guidance from you. It was a special little moment for me, actually.
Talking of guidance, how's your golf been?
It's up and down, do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm like a high single figure handicap golfer, so it's... it's up and down, as you can expect. Some days good, some days bad. But it's finding that consistency and that time to play. I played actually for the first time yesterday in James Madison's Invitational. I had an amazing day, but I haven't swung a club for 6 weeks. So everything just felt stiff. And honestly, like, I'm aching so bad today that I started getting tension headaches, like, in my neck this morning. So I'm going to have to get a little massage on that and loosen myself up, Beef.
Mate, you just got back from the Ryder Cup as well.
Oh, mate, it's honestly unbelievable, isn't it? I know, I saw you out there. I saw all the videos. You were having it off, weren't you? Enjoying yourself.
Oh, mate, it was amazing. It was the first one I'd ever been to live. It was incredible. Was it the first one you've been to?
Yeah, never been to a Ryder Cup before. I obviously will remember that for a lifetime. Like, I just think it's one of the... I think it's the greatest sporting event I've ever been to, like, genuinely, like, so much fun in just seeing how everything operates, you know, with all the crowds there and the weather as well. I mean, 30 degrees, it was hot when it touched, like, really, really hot. I felt like there was no like sun cover on the whole of the golf course. There's only a couple of trees and yeah, I mean, everybody just in great spirits in Europe did the job.
Yeah, it was amazing. Talking about that though, like, once we finished like the day and finish the podcast, we had to get a bus back to a different hotel and then a cab from there. But you were staying on the fucking tent.
I know, mate. Honestly, like, I think people, I remember I posted a picture just on my Insta story of the room from inside looking out onto the 10th green. And it was Jimmy Anderson replied saying, no, that's not real. He thought it was like a green screen, right? He thought like the window was like a green screen, right? I don't think people could believe that. Not only was I fortunate enough to stay there, you know, with Hilton and stuff, but it was actually the fact that, you know, that was a thing at a massive event like that, you know, a worldwide stage with a worldwide audience watching it, that they had that accessibility to have literally a hotel room on the side of the green. And, yeah, mate, honestly, I had to pinch myself. It was genuinely the best gig I've ever been to.
What day did you stay there? Or did you stay there the whole week?
No, I didn't stay there the whole week. So I stayed the one night on the Thursday night. So I woke up in the morning. So I did like the opening. I did the opening ceremony on the Thursday. Witnessed all that, which was great. Went back to my room, chilled out, had some dinner, and then went. Woke up in the morning about 6 a.m. I was excited, mate. I was like a kid at Christmas. Woke up in the room. We set a GoPro up outside, right, just to kind of get that sunrise from the morning of like a time lapse, basically, of like the sunlight coming up on the room. And I drew the curtains about 6:30, mate. There are people out on the greens, like doing all what they do, all the greenkeepers and stuff. And then, yeah, went down for about 7:15, and then obviously 7:35 they teed off, and we watched the opening tee shots. And it genuinely just so good. And then I popped back, watched the opening tee shots, and I popped back up to the 10th hole, and I just got back in bed and waited for them to come round, mate. Oh, it was on. It was so good.
Yeah, you talk about money spots. I mean, that's an absolute joke, that is.
I think it's, yeah, it's one of those, though. Do you know what? The reason it's so good is because it's not actually something that money can buy. You know, it's an invite thing from Hilton. They do amazing. Well, obviously, they're, you know, one of the sponsors as well, with like the accessibility that they get on the golf course. And, you know, they have a number of different people stay in it throughout the week for a night just to have that whole experience. And then it goes to like Hilton for one night, you can bid for it with your points off Hilton. So it's not actually like a monetary thing. I think people think, you know, that some of the people who've stayed in there, you know, spent absolute thousands, like tens of thousands on it, but they actually haven't, which I quite like about it, because it kind of has that value of where it's not actually, you know, a money can buy experience.
Yeah, 100%. That's such an amazing idea, though. I love that. To wake up on the 10th green as well, and then to go back and watch it from there is absolutely incredible.
I did have to share the bed with my manager, though, which was slightly different. I know you've actually met him before, but he's about your size, Beef, to be fair. So you can imagine what it was like.
Well, he was the big spoon.
Mate, he was the big spoon, right? And he snores. Oh my God, does he snore? I was up at 2 a.m. I was thinking, I'm not going to actually sleep here. Not just for the excitement, but the fact that I couldn't sleep. Like, he was snoring. I had to just keep giving him a boot. And obviously, I don't share the bed too often with many people. So it took a bit of getting used to. But you know what? It's somehow still a night in paradise.
That's so good.
Oh, it was mega.
Oh, do you know what? I think I might need a favour from you. Do you think you could speak to Hilton? Because I think we should put a hotel room up at the 10th hole at Beef's Golf Club.
I think Beef's Golf Club needs that. I think so. You can wake up there and just, right, you just go, you just wake up whenever you want, roll out and tee it up. I think I know a few people at Hilton now. I met every single person, like, because it was the Ryder Cup, mate. They had like the head of America, head of Europe, the CEO, like everybody was there from Hilton you could think of. I forget the amount of people I met who were associated with Hilton, but mate, I made some wonderful contacts. I'm sure I can hook you up.
Definitely. We've also got rooms at the golf club as well, where if you've had too much to drink, there's a couple rooms. Maybe they could sort them out as well, look after them.
You need that. You always need that at the golf club. I was playing yesterday. Obviously, like I said, I was playing yesterday at the James Madison thing. Bullard, oh my God, he was in pieces, bless him, last night. It doesn't take him too many pints to enjoy himself, but that's exactly what he needed yesterday. He needed that. I think we were at a golf club yesterday, which actually didn't have a hotel complex, so he was in all sorts of bother, bless him.
See, yeah, it's genius. You need a couple, and then the bartender can just come over and be like, look, mate, we got a little room upstairs, put him into bed, sort him out, and he'll fill up he'll feel a lot fresh the next day rather than having to get a cab home and all that shit. We just put him to bed and sort him out.
Exactly. It works a treat. I think for golf as well, you never like get, everyone loves playing in the morning, don't they? Getting up at the crack of dawn, you know, getting it done and enjoying that kind of like, that fresh dew on the ground in the winter, right? But you don't like getting up and knowing you've got to drive in your car for an hour and a half to meet your mates and play golf, which a lot of people do. You know, it takes a lot of traveling when you're organizing a four ball, people from all over the shop. So it's the perfect scenario. Yeah, bartender looks after you, get your own little room service as well. Perfect.
So yeah, obviously James Madison's golf day yesterday. How was it, mate? What was going on?
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, for a great cause, for a little girl who passed away, who he was obviously very closely connected to, and we raised plenty of money. You know, there were some big names there. I think Tom Grennan, who was obviously at the Ryder Cup, you had Crouchy there. Crouchy and James Madison, first they teed off first. It wasn't shotgun starts. We were all off the first tee. Oh boy, they've hit two worm killers to start. Honestly, it was they both topped them. I think they're somewhere on socials. They'll definitely get uploaded at some stage. Michael McIntyre was there. He actually played. I don't know if you've seen it because it was floating around on socials yesterday. His ball was almost cemented in a lake. You couldn't see the ball. You know when you see the top of it, you think you can play it. I don't know what he thought he was doing, but mate, he got absolutely covered. He had to get a spare pair of change of clothes and stuff, but. Yeah, it was just a good day, you know. Harry Maguire, Jordan Pickford, who's a fellow Sunderland fan as well, so obviously a lot of respect for Jordan. Yeah, it was just nice to catch up with a lot of people who I've seen through different sport and events and obviously golf as well. And yeah, very successful day.
That's great. I love that. You know, these guys take so much time out of what you're doing and stuff and raise a nice chunk of money for special things that are close to people. I love things like that.
Auction prices as well were unbelievable. There was like Jude Bellingham's signed shirt he wore on his debut for Real Madrid.
What?
That went for thousands. There was a Saka shirt, match worn shirt. Yeah, I mean, that debut shirt, I was said to a few of the boys on the way about, I was making phone calls. That's unbelievable, though, isn't it? Think if Real Madrid go on and win like a Champions League and then Jude Bellingham is like, you own his shirt he wore on his debut. That's unbelievable.
Did you have a cheeky bid?
I didn't. I couldn't compete with some of the big hitters in there, if I'm honest with you. Hey, there's some serious money floating around in that room last night.
Mate, going on to the golf, talking about your golf, how long have you been playing for?
Well, I was right-handed till I was 21, and now I'm a lefty. And the reason I was right-handed till I was 21 is because I didn't play loads and loads of golf. You know, in the summer, if your mates were playing, you go and play kind of thing. But I have four older brothers, so they were all right-handed. So you kind of just get hand-me-downs. Like, that's what it was like, you know, growing up. I used to borrow my brother's equipment and stuff and his clubs and whatever. So I was right-handed, and I actually probably swing it better right-handed in the respect that I can actually move better right-handed. Like, mechanically, it looks better. But, yeah, I play county cricket. I'm a left-handed batsman, so I just thought I've got to be a left-handed golfer. There's no two ways about it. So I switched when I was 21, and now I kind of like, yeah, hack it around left-handed. It's all a bit strange, really, isn't it? But
so you started right-handed. What handicap did you get to right-handed?
I played to I didn't play loads. It'd have been sort of like around the 12 mark.
12 handicap right-handed.
Yeah. I could still swing it right-handed.
What handicap are you now?
I'm 6.2 now.
You know what?
All right.
You're so lucky John is not on this call.
Why is that?
Because you're a better handicap. You're a better handicap than him, right-handed, and then you've started all over again, and you're the only lefty we've had on here apart from John. And you've started again, and you're a better handicap than he is now, left-handed.
I know. That almost makes me feel a bit guilty. I feel for John, to be fair. He needs to get some more reps in. He needs to put some more work in, bless him.
He's busy. He's busy on tour at the moment. And also, I don't know if you've seen or heard, he carries the club that I disagree with him a lot, is the chipper.
The chipper, yeah.
There's no chipper in your bag. I didn't see one in your bag.
No. Is it still a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing, yeah. You can still walk in a shop and buy a chipper. If you'll find them in the corner somewhere, maybe with a bit of dust on them, but they're there.
I think it's for it's for the yips people, isn't it? It's for those ones which, you know, they just need a little bit of elevation, and not for me, Beef.
No, not for me either. No, they need to hide them a bit more in shops.
Absolutely, yeah, I think they do.
Yeah, you know, like you get in like the adult shops where like the real naughty stuff's around the corner and it's hidden or it's in another door. They should put the chippers in something like that.
Why do you detest them so much?
I think it's okay to get started, but if you're playing, learn how to chip, because obviously you've got different clubs. You can hit a chip and run like a chipper with a pitching wedge or a 9-iron, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you just close the face on a bit.
I've seen John pull a chipper out, play a chip and run, and then hit it short, and he'd have to chip it over a bunker, pull his lob wedge out, and play the nicest chip shot with it over the bunker. And I'm like, why do you need it? And I just think it's a learning curve. So it's like you're trying to get better at golf. That doesn't particularly help you get better.
If he doesn't listen to you, who's he going to listen to?
Mate, I don't know. Maybe you can have a word with him as a lefty. It might be a lefty chat.
I've got, you know what? I've got so many sets of wedges kicking around. Honestly, I reckon I've got a couple of spares, 52, 56, 60s. He can happily take them.
Yeah, maybe you have to donate some to him. I'm not sure he would take you up on it. I'm not sure.
No, he's stuck in his ways with his chipper.
You would have seen quite a few different players as well, and you've played in a few pro-ams, right?
Yeah.
How have they been?
Our pro-am's been unbelievable, yeah. I was out filming a TV show in Austria recently, so I actually missed the BMW, which I love that pro-am. It's just the best one, you know, the huge crowds. It's nervous as hell, but so much fun. I played in 5 of those now, so I'm very grateful for that. But I think it's the day where, as an amateur, you just feel like a professional. Like, even though no one expects us to hit it well, we still put pressure on ourselves. But because of the crowds are there, because you're, you know, alongside players who are teeing it up all week, and it's such a good feeling. Like, it really is. It's as close as you can get to being, you know, feeling like a professional for a day, even though we know we're not swinging it like professionals. But it's just the whole vibe, you know, the crowds and that pressure. You're feeling that pressure, which you guys do feel, you know, even though it you make it look easy, you know, of course you feel the pressure, and it's, you know, it's a competitive situation. You still want to win the pro-ams. Like, it gives you a goal, and you see the leaderboards and stuff, and it's so much fun.
Who have you played with there?
I've played with Ian Poulter. I've played with Danny Willett. I've played with Sebastian Soderberg. I've played with Callum Hill. I'm trying to think. God, this is really hard. I'm like jogging my memory here. So I played on a few. So I played a few of the British Masters ones as well. But just being able to tee it up alongside, you know, players like that is unbelievable. Danny Willett, you know, he's won a green jacket. I mean, what a moment! They still spat his name wrong as well. They had it. They never spell Willett right. They never put enough letters in it. So I think he's double T, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it, but they had one tee up, and it was, oh, Jesus, yeah.
Was he angry about it?
Nah, he was all right. He joked about it, but, you know, it wasn't like, you know, he's won a green jacket. You think they'd know how to spell his surname.
What was it like playing with Poulter? Was you nervous playing with him?
I wasn't nervous because, yeah, when I played with Poulter, it was 2017, and it was straight after I'd kind of come out of Love Island, right? So he'd watched my whole series. So we were just having a laugh and a joke. We were like reminiscing on the TV stuff and everything that he's got going on. And do you know what? It was fun, but it was at a time where, I mean, I hadn't swung a club in ages. Like, swear to God, I couldn't have played any worse. My golf's come on a lot since then, as it would, you know, 6 years ago. But yeah, there are nerves because, you know, you still want to hit good shots in front of good players because you want them to appreciate that, you know, you've done something, what they do every day professionally, you've done it well enough. So there's always nerves, there's always pressure, but that's the game, mate. If there wasn't nerves and there wasn't pressure, like, why would you bother playing it?
Yeah, 100%. But it is, when you go into a crossover sport,
Yeah.
And you're like out of your comfort zone from like what you can do and stuff. It's it is nerve wracking. Like you asked me to kick a football in front of footballers, shit my pants. It's
Literally it went worth, right? I've teed two of the 5 years I've played in that pro am. I've teed off on 14, right? Because it's shotgun start. So we're on 14, uphill par three. It's just not with the, with a lefty as well. You've got the food trucks up like in your eye line. You've got the crowd all up the left. You've got a crowd all up the right and the stand behind the green. It's just not the hole you want to be teeing off, like having your first swing on, like an uphill par three. You want to just get the big stick out, don't you? And give it a whack. But honestly, mate, those nerves, like one year I completely topped it. Like I probably nearly missed the ball. And I was thinking in my backswing, this is how messed up the mind is in golf. In my backswing, I'm thinking, don't top it. That's all I'm thinking in my backswing. So you're never in a good place to begin with, are you there? That's terrible, terrible mindset. But I couldn't block that out. Like I find it really hard to kind of like bring those emotions in golf and just... It's so hard because like other sports, like, you know, football, play tennis, I ride horses. Once you're doing it, you kind of like, you're zoned out. You're zoned so far into that, you don't think of like anything outside of you. Golf's like the only sport that when I'm playing it, I'm stood over a ball. You can't just like, I can't just zone in on that and forget the outside environment. Like it really, really affects me when there's big crowds. And I think a lot of people have that. People get that, you know, people will resonate with that even when they play in their local medals and they're just down and they've got four golfers who are going to tee off behind them and they're stood watching them. Like it's pressure. It doesn't matter whether it's four people or, you know, 400. Like it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. You see it all the time. People do not like to play in front of people in golf. It's, I just think you've got so much time to think about it.
Yeah. That's what it is, I think. I think it's not because you're not reacting to stuff. You're doing everything in your the way you would do it. It's hard.
Look, mate, also at Beast Golf Club, we like to share some fun things. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you playing golf?
Mate, honestly, I genuinely, it wouldn't be far off that 14th. Like when I say I've topped it 10 yards and there's a bit of like long, wispy rough just in front of you, like all the way up to the green. Because it's, you know, it's an uphill par three. It's just whisked. So it's gone 10 yards, mate. And the silence. Oh, my God, the silence. Like, it could have... I wanted the ground to swallow me up, mate. I was so embarrassed. I was just shaking. Like, I was shaking on the tee. But, yeah, that's embarrassing. I'm trying to think what else there was.
I also got a bit of inside info from your manager. He may sent me a video of a tee shot at the 18th at Wentworth.
Oh, God, what did I do? I'm trying to think. What did I do with it?
You may have topped it.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
With the driver.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's terrible as well, isn't it? Honestly. God, what a sneaky one. I'll be having words with him, mate. He's going to be not on his 20% commission anymore, bless him. But yeah, that there as well. Yeah, anything where it's just... they're just not fun moments, especially with a driver. Like, I don't think you care if there's big crowds. I don't think you care if you just, if there's so much spin on the ball and it goes like, for a lefty, like I fade it, right? If I just slice it into the woods, as long as I've got off the tee, I don't care. It's when it just trickles off the tee or you top it or it's not fun.
The thing as well as golf is, I always have a saying, is that no one's safe either. Like,
no.
Any pro, any amateur, they're going to hit bad shots as well. I mean, the amount of bad shots I've seen, I've hit as well.
I saw one today, mate, because it's obviously the last round of the Dunhill. And Billy Horshaw, they just showed a shot. He's literally, he completely chunked it, like a proper chunk. And it's, you know, he only had like a short iron or a pitching wedge in, and it's a proper chunk. And you saw it in the Ryder Cup as well. I think it was Cantlay put one in the middle of the lake with an iron in his hand from the middle of the fairway. Like it happens.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%. It's such fine margins. No one is safe. No one is safe.
No one's safe.
So, mate, we're also creating the dream golf club here at Beast Golf Club.
Yeah.
What are some of the best clubhouses and courses you've been to?
I love Sunningdale. You know, I think Sunningdale Old Course, right, I think is... Oh, it could be my favourite course to play in the world. I've always had good times there. It's always with fun people and I just love the golf course in itself. You know, I shot around in the low 70s there, and I remember that forever. And I literally striped everything, and I could have shot. I genuinely think I could have shot around a 70. I shot around a 74, and it was just, everything was just sweet. You know, I hit fairways, I hit good shots, everything was out in the middle of the club, and that makes you remember those days. But I just love the vibe of Sunnydale. You know, the clubhouse is always good food. That's what I always remember. They used to do, I actually think they've taken it off the menu, but they used to do this like chicken, a Thai red curry, right? Chicken one, but now it's a vegetable, which is a bit disappointing because, you know, I love any form of protein. I struggle to eat many plates of food if it's not got like chicken or steak on it. So, but yeah, just what a place. What a place.
So are you a club sandwich person?
No, I'm not really. No, not really.
Oh, no. Too much. Is that too much carbs for you?
Yeah, it's just a lot of bread in a club sandwich. Unnecessary. There's an unnecessary extra slice in there. And every day, associated with golf, you don't need extra slices, let me tell you that. But no, I'm more a kind of, I need a knife and fork. I'm one of those kind of people.
You can eat a club sandwich. You can eat a club sandwich with a knife and fork.
Nah,
you make it funny looks.
Look right, does it? Yeah, you get funny looks. I don't like the whole, you know, the egg with the chicken kind of thing as well. Because some people put eggs in it, don't they? Like a club sandwich. But yeah, nah, not for me. Yeah, I have them on holiday, don't get me wrong, because it's an easy lunch choice, isn't it? Off the menu with some chips or whatever. But nah, not for me. I love a curry though. I'm honestly beef. Like, I just absolutely love a curry.
Well, that was going to be my next question. What would you put on the menu at Beef's Golf Club?
I'd just have a lovely, like a nice mild chicken tikka masala with coconut rice or pilau rice with a choice of, and a cheese naan. I'd have a cheese and I'd have a garlic naan on the menu. Like, cheese naans are very underrated. Like, some places you have to request them because they're not actually on the menu. They've got all the pashwaris, you know, and all the quinoa and whatever. But no, you need a cheese naan because some places you go, they like slab the cheese on. It's a heart attack on a plate, but it's unbelievable.
There we go. We've got a mild tikka masala now on the menu with some absolutely. Coconut rice and a cheese naan.
Yeah, perfect.
Is there an option for it to come spicy?
Yes, you can have extra spice in it. Yeah, it's on chef's request. So that can work.
Going back to clubhouses and stuff, what would you like to add at Beef's Golf Club? What would you like to see?
I'd like a number of hot tubs, right? This sounds a bit extreme, right? But just like, I'd like a balcony which can overlook, it doesn't even have to overlook the 18th. It could be on the side of Beef's Golf Club, right? Which can overlook another hole, maybe the green on the ninth coming in. Just a number of hot tubs there. So if you finish a round, you know, you can just go up there. Because I love a spa, Beef. Honestly, I go three times a week to the spa.
What?
Sit in the sauna. Three times a week. It's a bit of a concern. But every time I go to the gym, like every other day. So I go to the gym about 5-6 days a week. Every other time I'll go to the spa afterwards just to chill out, have a good sweat in the sauna. But yeah, if you could sit out there, you know, with a nice beer like this, just overhanging with your arms hanging out the side of the hot tub, that's heaven on earth, that. And just watch some people hack it in. It's good fun.
Done. That sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
That is, 100%, that is in. John will absolutely fight me on it, but he's not here. It's in. He's having no say on that.
No, he's getting no say. I think we can get that. Even if it's just one big one, we could definitely accommodate for that.
Yeah, we'll get more than one. Or we just get like a massive one.
Yeah, we can get like a long sort of infinity pool of which, you know, it's got all glass, it's glass ceramic. So it looks like something you see, you know, in Dubai or whatever. That would be lovely to also watch the golf from.
You know, though, I'm going to tell you the truth. Beef's Golf Club is actually in Birmingham.
Yeah, we might struggle with that.
It might look, well, yeah, it's not,
no, it's, a,
it's not it, similar to Dubai, but.
No, it might not fit in for the climate. I understand. We haven't got that weather, 365 days a year, but I don't know, we could work on it.
Put a little roof up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have like a a roof that was sort of protruding.
Do you know, if you get the way I see it, if you can get planning permission for it, there's always a possibility. That's up to you then, Beef, is it? It's in your, is it, balls in your court then.
We also asked all of our guests to add a rule to the Board of Commandments here as well at the club.
Yeah.
What rule are you going to add?
My rule would be for any time you go out and play match play, because that's a very common, you know, it's a very common choice of, you know, it's a very common format when you're playing your friends. You can, like, Uno reverse one shot from each player in the round. So if I'm playing you, Beef, you stiff one in a very important time, or you stiff one early doors, I can say, or you drain a 30-footer, I can say, no, I've got, you got to play that shot again. You can use that card once. I think it adds to a bit of excitement.
Do you call
it's
it
a nice little rule, actually.
The Uno reverse?
Well, that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? You're kind of getting them to play it again. I don't know. I'm just trying to work out a way to actually describe what I'm on about. But I think that's quite good fun, you know, because you've always got like a trump card up your sleeve in case you need it. Some people will go early with it, and then it will haunt them later on in the round. They wish they used it then. And it's tactical.
Yeah, I love that. That's in. We'll chuck that straight
because
in.
If you feel like it, if you're two down and then, you know, someone holds out from somewhere, or they stiff it from 160 to 2 feet, you could say, no, I don't want to go three down it. I need to pull this out. And it's a great way of keeping it, you know, keeping it a bit more even.
I better start collecting some of these Uno reverse cards so you can hand them out to
each
other.
You're going to have to. I've got plenty of them here. Honestly, I've got plenty of them.
Mate, I know you've played in some like big pro-ams and stuff. I mean, you've stayed in probably one of the best hotel rooms that's ever been made.
Time. Yeah, but I agree.
You're an officially a new member of Beef's Golf Club. This honour has to be up there with some of the best, right?
Yes, yeah. Just to be part of Beef's Golf Club is my favourite membership, if I'm honest with you. So it's my favourite enrolment to anything I've ever, you know, ever been part of in life. So, yeah, it is an honour, Beef, and it's, you know, I'm excited to get the journey underway, mate.
It's just behind the spa membership, I take it.
Yeah, just behind the spa, just behind the spa membership. Nah, do you know what? It's an honour. It's an honour, my friend. Always.
I've got one more question as well, because I think you're the right person to ask. In terms of like dress codes and fashions, I think you should be sort of the head fashion designer of Beef's Golf Club as well.
Beef's Golf Club, I'm in charge of the clothing. I will get the right, you know, the right stocking, because I know what the people want these days. And we could fit in for, you know, some nice spring, summer looks, some nice autumn, winters. And yeah, leave me in charge of that, mate. I'll rock and roll with that one.
What are the absolute no-goes in golf dress code?
I don't like black socks. I don't care if you're wearing, do you know what I mean? I don't care if you're wearing black shoes. Let's just leave black socks out of the way. Okay, that's a no-go. Okay, it's going to be white socks only. You know, cuffed trousers I'm all for, wear plenty of them. And hoodies, I like hoodies in the winter. I think it looked quite smart wearing a hoodie. Now, obviously, this one wouldn't pass for golf terms, but what's an absolute no-go? I like backward caps as well, because you know what it's like when it starts raining, you've got to swivel it around. You see the pros do that. Don't want to get any drips down you. I'm all for just enjoying yourself and wearing what you want.
There it is.
No, what are they called? The vests. No vests, though. Can't get, you got to cover a little bit of the top of the arm.
No vests? Even if it had a collar on it?
Oh, you wear a vested collar? No, like the females wear, because girls wear those, don't they? They wear
them.
Yeah, you wear them, yeah. That's just like wearing female golf clothing. Have you got a collared vest?
Hang on, yeah.
You own a collared vest?
No, I don't own a collared vest. When I went on Joe Marler's podcast, he said he liked to play in vests, but you're obviously not allowed in a vest. So we come up with the idea of putting a collar on the vest.
Oh, fine. It works. I wouldn't also tell Joe Marler he can't wear a vest. If he turns up in a vest, he can wear his vest. I don't fancy a roll around with him. I've met him before. He's a lovely guy. But yeah, I wouldn't fancy telling him he can't wear something he wants to wear.
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure, man, having you on.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Beef. You're top man. And hopefully we see each other soon.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Top boy. Legend.
What a legend Chris is, mate. I mean, the only one let down, though, he's not a massive club sandwich fan.
I think he's the first guest we've ever had on who has said they don't like club sandwiches. But he did make me laugh when he said, it's just an unnecessary slice of bread. That did make me laugh. I can see his point, you know. I know you will never see eye to eye with that.
I can see his point, but I'll never agree with the point.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I can't be having that. But then he did say he eats them sometimes on holiday.
Yeah. It sounds like he doesn't like the food where he goes, so he just goes for a club sandwich that he doesn't actually want. But yeah, I thought he was great. I loved his hot tub suggestion as well. Or the infinity pool idea, I thought was really good.
Yeah, we better get cracking building that, getting some planning permission, or we just dump it straight on there and don't tell anyone. That's probably more my go. While John's away, he's the sort of organizer. He deals with all of that stuff. I'll just build it, and then when he comes back, it'll be a nice surprise for him.
Yeah, I think normally John has quite a sort of steady, safe head on what we can add and what we can't. I feel like while he's away, Beef's Golf Club's going to turn into absolute carnage with some of the ideas. If you're allowed to just do what you want.
It has given me an idea that we should start building some really wacky shit in there. So when he comes back, he'd just be like, what's this? What is that?
Yeah, you can explain it to him. Before we go, Beef, we've had a few questions come in from the listeners that need your attention. Here's a question from Sue. She said, hi, Beef. You mentioned how much you would love to make the Ryder Cup team next time around. What do you think you'll need to do to make that happen? Because obviously, you know, you're on the verge of a comeback at the moment, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm close to coming back now. Since I've been back from Ryder Cup, I've been practicing hitting balls. Hands getting better all the time. Nice. I think there's a couple of things I need to improve golf-wise. I need to become a better putter from 10 foot and in. I would say that would be a key, and probably better from 150 yards in as well. They kind of go hand in hand. If you hit it a bit closer and hold a few more putts, that's where you can really score. There'll be some of my like targets to really improve over the next couple of years. And just stay fit, stay consistent. I've started a new program where I'm doing a lot more mobility in the gym, a lot more stretching and stuff. And hopefully I can find the balance where I'll become more flexible and I don't get injured. And being injured, there's nothing you can do. You're just sitting on the sidelines, and that's the worst case. So hopefully I can stay fit, improve them bits, and go and get booed in America.
We've actually had quite a lot of questions about your comeback, Beef. Can you give us an update on when we might be seeing you back out there? Is there an event you've got your eye on?
So yeah, the comeback will be the 23rd of November.
Nice.
The Joburg Open. I'm looking at the start of the 2024 season. So that's my comeback date, and I can't wait.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. James Parsons says, how was the Cacio e Pepe out in Rome? Worthy of your master's menu? Because that was one that you said you'd have on there, wasn't it? How many of those did you have while you were there?
I think I had two, but I ate pasta every day. And I sort of did a rotation of three pastas. The Cacio e Pepe, carbonara, and the amatriciana, which is like a tomato-based carbonara almost.
Yeah.
I basically had them on rotation for a week. I might have to change it to a carbonara. I don't know. It was so good.
Wow.
Obviously, we ate in that little restaurant.
Yeah.
With all the football shirts, all the signed football memorabilia and stuff, which was really cool. And it was so good there. My God.
Yeah. The pasta we had was really good. That's big news, though, that you might change it to a carbonara for the Masters menu. So I guess when we get to the Masters next year, we'll probably have to make a decision there and update the menu. But big news there. Mark Bodley asked Beef, who would you want as your Ryder Cup foursomes partner?
I'd probably say John Rahm.
Would you?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyone. I'd play with literally anyone. It'd be not fast. I think me and Shane would cause a riot.
Yeah.
As well, I think, especially if it was like a home crowd, I think that would be wild foursomes partner. There'd be so much noise around the golf course. That would be great fun. I loved how we got the crowd hyped up and stuff, and I think I'd do something pretty similar, so it'd be wicked.
Yeah, that would be good to see. We'd enjoy seeing that. And then a final question from Andrew Bedwell. He asks, should the Ryder Cup captaincy come with an expectation that you do two in a row, a home and away? It is quite clear that winning a Ryder Cup as the away side is incredibly difficult. Two away wins in the last 30 years. Feels like you shouldn't just be judged on one performance, either home or away, but how you handle both. Would love to know your thoughts, Beef. That's interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, it's a fair one. I think it all depends on the captain. I know they've got so much work they have to do for it. So many trips out to Rome, so many trips with sponsors and days, and obviously still trying to prepare the team, put everything together. I mean, they must work so hard in terms of the time they put in over the year and a half, 2 years, when they're announced as a captain. They might not want to do two in a row because it's so much work. But I think it'd be really good to see how that pans out, home and away and stuff as well, because the Ryder Cup is so one-sided in terms of home advantage. I would love Luke Donald to carry on and see if we can go out there and bring the Ryder Cup back from America after he's done so well. Whether Zach Johnson would have another crack at it, I'm not sure. But yeah, I can't see why not. And I think it'd be fair on someone like Harrington as well, drawn an absolute short straw in the timings he kept in the Ryder Cup as well. I mean, sometimes you get them situations where the team, the American team they had, was just out this world, probably the best team ever in terms of American Ryder Cups, and Europe's wasn't the best. So maybe, yeah, I'd like to see him have a crack at home, and it is in Ireland in 4 years' time as well. So maybe he could catch up the two. But yeah, I don't mind a home and away.
Yeah, nice. Well, hopefully Luke Donald is still in charge, and maybe you can drop him a text and get us to the Ryder Cup in 2 years' time, because after being to one, I'd very much like to go again.
Yeah, you don't want to miss another one, do you?
No, no, definitely not. Some great questions there. Remember to send in any questions or ideas to beef@crowdnetwork.co.uk, or you can get in touch on social media at Beef's Golf Club.
Yes, mate. So good to be back at it. Remember, if you're new to Beef's Golf Club, go back to the start and listen to how the club has developed. And we'd love for you all to keep sending in your ideas so we can discuss them on the podcast. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.